I'll open lines for the rest of the night. In the last hour, I will play that interview with the attorney for the John Teeter family, Larry Haber. He's an attorney in Florida, a real attorney in Florida, and he represents the family. You'll hear all about what he does, why he's representing them, and also the mother of John Teeter was on the other line, and she answered questions through the attorney. And you'll hear that portion as well. You'll hear what she told the attorney and through his voice. But she did answer my questions, and most of them pretty succinctly, too. So that's coming up in the last hour. And I'll give you the phone numbers once again because we're opening up a special hotline. I'll tell you about that in a second. Well, here's this interesting email that I got in from Deacon. It said, George, I live in the Midwest, Iowa, to be exact. And we have had a winter weather warning since yesterday, not unusual. At about 6 o'clock, about 2,000 or more crows took to the air over the city. They swirled like large funnel clouds, and they seemed pretty unhappy. They acted as if they didn't know what to do, but they knew that they should do something. If anything funny happens in this area over the next couple days, I thought this email would make a good record of this behavior. Reporting from the cornfield in... off he goes. So we will see if you get back to us. On the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at the feature story that Sean has posted. There's a guy from Costa Rica, and he has adopted a 16-foot crocodile as a pet. I love animals. I love animals as much as anybody. But I'm telling you, this guy's making a big mistake. Anyway, what happened is he found the crocodile, which had a bullet in its head in a swamp. He took the injured animal home. He's named it Poncho. He's nursed it back to health. It took him 4 years to heal the crocodile, by which time he says his wife has now accepted it. And he said, it has never done anything to harm me. He knows who I am. It is if it is like a dog. It merely eats off my hands. One day it shall eat your hand, I'm telling you. But take a look at the picture of this critter with him, and Poncho is the name of the crocodile. And, oh, gosh, why is he doing that? Hey, the Darwin Awards, of course, I read the winning one last week, bestowed on the people who have evolved among us. Here's an honorable mention. I just love these things. Listen to this one. After stopping for drinks at an illegal bar, these are true stories, a bus driver from Zimbabwe found that his 20 mental patients that he was supposed to be transporting from Harare to Bulawayo had escaped the bus. Not wanting to admit his incompetence for fear that he'd get fired, the driver went to a nearby bus stop and offered everyone waiting there a free ride. He then delivered the passengers to the mental hospital, telling the staff that the patients were very excitable, prone to bizarre fantasies, and not to believe anything they were to say. The deception wasn't discovered for 3 days. They kept all these people. I love that story. Some time ago in October, someone sent me an MP3 file of a ghost episode that occurred in a cemetery. I have not played it yet. It is the language is in Spanish. What I believe has happened here is that this man and his wife possibly were in a cemetery late at night, not necessarily ghost hunting, but apparently while they were there, it got dark. They began to see a very misty-looking figure or entity. You're going to have to listen to the whole thing. Again, it's in Spanish, and it kind of builds to a crescendo. Now keep in mind, they're just walking around the cemetery. You can hear the crickets.
Well, escuchar. Hay una ahí. Amiga, ¿cómo te llamas?
See, they've seen the misty figure now.
Amiga. Niña.
Ay, no seas imbécil. Ya me llevo la...
¡Calvo! ¡Con lentes! ¡Calvor! ¡Ella, güey! ¡Ella, güey! ¡Por favor!
I have no idea what happened to him. I have no idea. That's kind of scary, though. I'm going to open up a special hotline for you. I've got an email from someone who says, George, I hate basements. They're creepy. I'm petrified. They're creepy places. Open up a hotline for creepy places, please. Great idea. Some people hate closets. Some people hate under the bed. Where are your creepy places and why? Whatever happened? Here are the phone numbers, by the way. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. The wild card line is 818-501-4109. And the Creepy Places hotline is 818-817-0021. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let's start by going to our Creepy Place hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Mark from Waco, Virginia.
Welcome to the program. Creepy place for you, huh?
Yeah, it's an old train tunnel on the side of the mountain here in Waynesboro. It's I heard 50 people died building this place. And it's actually beautiful, like what surrounds it. And then you walk up on it, and it almost looks like an old dragon's lair. It's like, you know, really gray stone coming down, like, it gets really dark up in the middle of it, and like there's a gray mist that goes up in the middle of it, up into it. And we started going back up into it, and it gets darker and darker, and you look back, and the light just gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And once you get all the way to the back, you look up at the ceiling with your flashlight, and it's full of bats.
Oh, how long is this place?
It goes way back, and it like turns to the left. And then once you get back there, it's as dark as you can imagine. You know what I mean? And there's such a awful feeling there. I mean, god awful. It's just terrible. But there's a climax to this story, George. And when we were walking out, and this place has been known for like cold activity, and evidently there's a body in there. People say, but you don't know if that's true. You know what I mean?
And nobody's ever gone in there to pick it, to find it.
Well, it's just a rumor, but you know, I'm not really for sure about the details of that. Just what somebody told me. But we were walking out, and as you're walking out of the tunnel, you know how people describe when they pass over to the other side, how the light at the end of the tunnel?
Sure.
And it was snowing that day. It snowed like, 12, 16 inches. So the way the light was reflecting in the tunnel was like immense. And my friend, he kind of put his hands up like acting like a preacher, you know, and the way the light was reflecting on him. We all just like burst out in laughter, you know. It was really funny because he was a funny guy. Within a month, he died. It was a gun accident. So I'm not sure if that's coincidence or what.
There are no coincidences. It's not, maybe it's not good to fool around like that.
Exactly. And I don't think that's a very good place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did these bats, by the way, when you turn the lights on them, ever come flapping at you?
There was about 9 or 10 of them that are doing that. And actually, that guy that I told you about, he was, you know, like I said, he's a funny guy, so he was playing with our hair. Like, we weren't ever sure if it was the bats or him sometimes,
oh,
you know?
God, practical joker, but hey, the laugh ended up being on him. That's sad.
Yeah, and he was a good guy, you know, but I don't, very strange story, huh?
Yeah, sure is. Hey, thanks. That's a creepy hotline. Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Where are you calling from?
Portland, Oregon.
All right, what's on your mind?
Well, I grew up in Montana, and my parents built the house I grew up in, and the basement was never finished. It was very creepy for me and my sister.
Well, one of those dirt floor basements?
No, it was cement, but it had just drywall thrown up and everything, and we had to go down there to do our laundry and whatnot, and my dad never replaced the light in the stairwell, so when we had to go down there, you had to go all the way down to the bottom of the stairs to turn the light on. And it was pretty freaky, and never really had any dreams or anything. But then my sister and I both moved out here about 10 years ago, and ever since we moved out to Oregon, we both had horrible nightmares about the basement that we house that we grew up in.
Now, what could possibly, you know, if you had some drywall on the basement, even though it was dark, why was it creepy for you?
I don't know. You know, we lived out in the boonies, and my sister and I would be home alone a lot, and it was just really dark, and if one of us had to go down there to do the laundry or something, you know, it was just creepy down there. That was the only reason to go down into the basement, was because we had to do the laundry. Nobody really...
Would you be more freaked out if you knew the house was built over some kind of graveyard?
Yeah, that's what we were thinking.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, my mom said she thought there might have been, you know, that she might have witnessed some kind of ghost activity, but nothing that was threatening at all, just friendly. And like I said, we were scared of the basement, you know, because we were kids, and even in our teenagers, we were kind of freaked out by it. But we never had nightmares, but...
And what kind of nightmares are you having? I mean, what's happening in the nightmares?
It's just like the stairs going down into the basement. Between the slats of the stairs, you could see underneath the basement where there was just like a storage area and stuff. And I've had dreams of actually running up the stairs, because that's what we would have to do. We would turn off the light in the basement and we'd run up the stairs because it'd be dark until you got up into the kitchen area. And we'd run up the stairs, and I've had visions of me and my family now living in that same house and being grabbed from underneath the stairs.
Oh.
I mean, it's just very strange that my sister and I both are having, you know, some of the worst nightmares ever since we've actually moved out of the house.
That's interesting. Well, I'll tell you what, this tonight has all the makings of a very creepy show. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Gary.
Hi, Gary, where
Cameron,
are you?
Missouri.
Okay, hi.
Hey, I heard on the radio tonight a guy who claimed to have a connection high up in the petroleum industry in some top meetings, and he also claimed that he divulged that high up person to the right person to verify his story.
And what's the story?
And the story is that the price for a barrel of oil on or shortly after March 20th of this year will jump up to $131 a barrel.
What?
And $6 a gallon at the gas pump.
Now that's more than double what it is right now.
Right. Well, I thought it would be nice to if I've got his 800 number, and if you...
Yeah, I'll put
Cut
you on.
Off
I'll,
of here,
I'll tell you what. I'll put you on hold, and you can give it to our producer, okay?
And he says he'll produce the guy.
All right.
Okay.
We'll do that. I'll put you on hold. We'll get it, and we'll give the guy a call. Tommy, take care of that, if you would. Tommy, I'm over here. Yeah, there he is. Okay, let's go to our creepy hotline. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Ah, this is Jason from Harlan, Kentucky.
Hello, Jason.
And I'll be honest with you, I never thought I would get through, because I used to work at a radio station, and I used to try to get through to a radio program we had there, and I called for 3 years and never got through, and I was like, I got through to George.
You know,
I can't believe it.
I tell you, it's all timing. Some people have tried for years, they can't make it. Others just get through, and they know how to do it. It's strange.
Yeah, I've been listening probably for about 6 months now, and I love the program, listen whenever I get a chance to and stuff, but my creepy place is an interesting one. My friend owns a old house gymnasium and stuff. It's an old school gymnasium and stuff. It's got a downstairs and stuff. And every year, for probably about 3 years or so, we've been putting on a haunted house there. Well, underneath the stairs, like as you're, you know, going down to like the basement floor,
yeah,
you're going up, there's a little cubby hole there with a door and stuff. We used to stick a guy down there, you know, to rattle the door when people come through and stuff, you know, get a good scare out of it. Well, we was all waiting in between a group and stuff, and nobody was around there.
And it's pretty dark, I guess, right?
Well, considering everything's lit with a black light, and when you do have normal light, it's a strobe.
So yeah.
Very dark, very creepy, even in, like, middle of summer. So he kept saying, I hear a noise. And we was all like, yeah, whatever. You know, just go back down there. Somebody will be through in a minute. And he said he kept hearing a growling coming from underneath the stairs. And we're just, you know, it's all in your head. You know, it's crazy because we kid around, say that there's a ghost in the, at, you know, up there and stuff.
Or maybe he's trying to set you guys up. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, in between, something happened, and he just absolutely refuses to go back downstairs now. And if we go to, like, just to the regular back part of the gymnasium, perfectly well lit and stuff, unless there's more than, like, three people with him, he just will not go back
there. What happened back there? The growling scared him?
Yeah, well, he claims that, you know, he's into the paranormal and stuff, and that he's, you know, had spooky things happen to him before, and it's never bothered him. But whatever bothered him downstairs obviously has bothered him enough to where he just will not go back downstairs.
Did he think it was more animal or demon?
Well, I don't want to say demon, but he says it definitely had a, he says he thinks it, you know, was a hostile spirit and stuff. But now me and my friends been down there, and we, you know, work on stuff. And
nothing happens.
Never have a problem, but I guess either he's just a little more connected to the other side than we are, but it obviously scared him enough to where he won't fool around back there no more.
And does this happen when he was there all the time, or was it just during, like, Halloween?
No, every time he goes down there and stuff, he just feels, he says, you know, I don't like it down here. There's not a presence. And then after the episode of Halloween, this has been probably 2 years ago, he just will not go back down there.
Sounds like something's following him.
It could be. Now, at a house he lived at, he said him and his roommate used to have, you know, problems with stuff being moved, and they kept finding a certain picture that they would throw away and stuff in the closet, and they would say we tore the picture up, threw it out and stuff, and you know, I believe both of them. I mean, I've known them for 12 years or longer and stuff, but maybe it's just following him.
Sounds like it. Okay, hey, thanks, appreciate it. Next up, Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey George, my name is Mike. I'm calling you from Winter County, Wisconsin.
Hi Mike.
I just wanted to tell somebody that might believe me about this dream I had 5 years ago. I was up here, and my dog was down in the Chicago area with my father at the time. And in the middle of the night, it was 1:36 in the morning, to be precise. I'll never forget it. I dreamt I was asleep, and my dog hopped up next to me, but not onto a bed, onto one of these metal things, like a veterinary examination table.
Sure, okay, like a lab table.
And the dog just looked at me, and he said, Mike, I'm tired, and I want to go home.
The dog said this?
In my dream,
in
yes.
Your dream.
And it just upset me so much that I just woke up. That's where I remember the time. He had a couple of cigarettes. And the first thing the next morning, I called my dad, and I said, hey, Dad, is Casey okay?
Oh, no.
And my dad said, yeah, he's fine. Why? I said, well, never mind. 2 hours later, my dad called me up. He said, there's something the matter with Casey. I'm taking him to the vet. And the next few hours later, he called me up. He said, Casey's got a tumor, and the vet cannot operate. He said he just wouldn't survive the operation. So I had to drive home to say goodbye to my pal.
Sure.
But
you knew. He came to see you in that dream.
And out of all the dreams that... you know, that you have and that you forget. That is one night I'll never forget.
No, you never will. Never will. Thanks, Mike. We'll be back. Open lines continue. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's that time of the night on Friday to say hello to all of you listening on your favorite radio stations around North America, the United States and in Canada, and as we also beam now into parts of Cuba, hello to all of you. Hola, down there in the Cuban area. How are you? Terrestrial Radio, Streamlink members, hello to you. Also, those of you chatting on Streamlink, the Coast Riders, hello to all of you. XM Satellite, and then the various chat rooms all around the country, the NighthawkZone.com folks, hello, good morning. Fantastic Forum Pirates, the ones who started it all, the Imaginative Worlds folks. Hi to you, Sorcery IRC, the National Radio Clubs, and also a few little shops that have opened up late night that have coast-to-coast clubs all around the country. I don't know how many of you are doing that, but keep it up. Hi to all of you. Let's go to some of the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our wildcard line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hey,
yeah.
This is Jeff out in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Hey, Jeffrey. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Oh, wow. It's great to talk to you, George.
Thank you.
Okay, I just had a snow and lightning story. I'm going to have to go back in time a little bit, back to 1994 in January.
Let's go back. What's happening then?
All right. Well, a friend of mine, I was in high school back then, and a friend of mine who'd been kicked out of his parents' house, he was staying with me at my parents' house, you know, and staying in my my older brother's room, who had moved out, and it starts snowing, you know, really heavy, like midnight. So we get up like 3 a.m. We're like, you know, we're going to go out and have some fun, and we get up, and I woke him up, and we kind of headed out of my parents' house up into the forest, you know, and there's these great big hills.
Did you sneak out?
Well, no.
Or just one?
Really have to.
Okay.
We just kind of went.
Yeah, all right.
It was probably still Christmas break, if I'm remembering.
Okay.
Right.
See, and if you went, your folks didn't mind.
No.
Okay.
They were probably asleep anyway. You know. But, okay, so we head out, and there's this radio tower up on the highest hill, like all around the town where I grew up.
Okay.
And it's probably about 1800 AGL, right?
That's pretty good.
Well, I just know that because I'm a pilot now. But and I've checked the charts. So you know, it's probably like, I don't know, a good 800-foot hill, right? Like at the base of the tower.
Sure.
Where we're hanging out. And it's just snowing like crazy. There's like veils of snow being picked up off the ground, you know, because the wind's blowing really hard and it's just blowing everywhere. And then, you know, it's about 5 a.m. and it starts warming up a little. And, you know, the lightning starts and it's just getting loud and it's rumbling constantly all around us. And we're sitting on our backpacks that we'd taken with us. And, you know, we're sitting on top of like 6 inches of snow. And then all of a sudden, the lightning just strikes right behind the two of us while we're overlooking, like, this valley.
Oh, man.
Right? And it, you know, like, if you shine a flashlight up to your hand and you can kind of see, like, your veins.
Yeah, yeah. You can see behind
your blood.
It. Sure.
Yeah. And it was like that, but the light behind us was so bright. And it shined, like you couldn't see anything but the flash of the white light, right? And in front of me, all I could see, you know, was white, but I could see my skeleton blocking the light from behind me. And I could see the outline of my skeleton, like, just right in front of my eyes, like 3 feet in front of me, you know? And it was just the wildest thing. It was really kind of interesting.
You thought you got cooked, didn't you?
Well, man, we were pretty close to getting cooked, you know? And after that, we were like, we both looked at each other. We were like, man, we better get off the hill.
I don't blame you. Thanks. Appreciate that. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a creepy story.
You do?
Yes.
How creepy?
Oh, it's terrible. I think that my dead dad haunts our old house in Fullerton, California. I'm a native Californian. And for years after we moved into this house, things started happening to our family, like we all turned against each other, and I know that I levitated one night, and every owner of that house since we moved out of it, something tragic has happened in their family. We had 2 deaths in our family in that house.
Why do you think it's your dad? Because wasn't dad a good old guy?
Oh, no. Dad was a military person that was just really, really hard-nosed. And
no, that doesn't make him a bad guy. I'm a military person.
Oh, no, not the military part. He was just full of hatred. And
oh, he was.
Yeah.
Very bitter about everything. Huh?
Yeah, just we didn't have to see him pull up. We felt him. You know,
okay.
When he came home from work.
All right, now I see where you're coming
from.
Yeah,
and things just started moving on their own. My brother was beaten with a Bible in his sleep, and when he woke up, nobody was there, but the Bible was thrown across the other side of the room.
Oh, this is after your father died, right?
No, this was during my dad's life there. And every night, I'm not kidding, George, every night for at least 15 years at 3:33 in the morning, the telephone would ring, and it was like I was the only one that could hear this phone ringing. I would answer it, and there was a something or someone on the other end of that. It was a non-sexual call. It was of a man who would do this guttural moan every single night.
Now, you do know the significance of 3:33, don't you?
I just know that there is
that's
a law.
The devil, that's the devil's moment.
Really?
Yes. It's the opposite of Christ. So they figure that 3 o'clock, 3 a.m., 3:33, that's the devil's moment.
That is crazy. That is just, oh. for years on end, and nobody else in the house but me would hear this phone ringing, and whoever it was, whatever it was that was calling, would not give up. And this was back in the day where you didn't plug in your phone. And when you took the phone off the hook, that resonating sound that goes through the house when the phone's off the hook, it didn't stop at a certain point. It just kept going. So you were kind of stuck. You had to answer the phone. And it was 3:33 every
single
night. So
deep down inside, you know who that phone call was, don't you?
I think so. But to talk about it, you sound crazy, you know?
No, not really. Not on this program. People will listen to you, at least. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
This is James in New York, New York.
Well, how are things in New York, New York, James?
Cold and windy.
Yeah, you got it that way, didn't you?
I'm calling tonight because Harry Houdini and my great-grandfather were best of friends.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. In fact, my great-grandfather taught him everything he knew.
Your great-grandfather was a magician or an escape artist?
Inventor.
This is incredible. Tell me about this.
Well, they met when my great-grandfather was in Appleton, Wisconsin. He moved there from Ukraine. Well, emigrated from Ukraine.
Yeah.
And Houdini bet a cop that he could escape from his handcuffs. And when he failed to do so, he contacted my great-grandfather. And my great-grandfather was an inventor. He invented the laminated padlock that we know as Master Lock today.
Okay.
And so what he did was he taught him how to escape from the handcuffs. And then later on, when Houdini was doing his trick where he locked himself in the trunk and had the locks going all around, what my great-grandfather told him was, before you get on stage, kiss your wife. And what happened was when Houdini kissed his wife, the key was passed to Houdini.
Ah, good point.
And Houdini had the key in his mouth.
Good point.
Yeah, so that's how they were great friends, and he just taught him everything he knew. Well, maybe not everything he knew, but many ways to escape from the locks. And he supplied the padlocks for a lot of his shows.
Did he outlive Harry? Harry died, of course, when he got punched in the stomach. And
right.
Then,
he did. My great-grandfather died, I think, in 1950. So,
Had some great stories.
Thank you.
Great stories. Hey, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Appreciate you sharing that with us. How about that? It's great-grandfather knew Harry Houdini. We'll be back with more of your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. First time caller line, you're up. Hi there. Hello.
My name is Ivan Johnson.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
I was calling just to say I could translate the video or the sound clip.
You can translate?
Yes, I speak Spanish.
Oh, you can. Now, so what did they say?
Apparently, they were ghost hunting. They were looking for somebody. And They asked what the name was, and the friend was, "Don't be a moron, don't do it." And then it just went into total chaos, and I couldn't understand from there on.
At the end, it sounded like he was either running away from it or toward it. I couldn't figure it out.
I think he was running away from it.
Somebody has sent me a couple messages saying that this was on a Spanish television station, and apparently they saw a little girl, a ghostly figure by some tombstones, but it may have come at them, and it probably scared the heck out of him.
Can I share one of my spookiest places in the world?
Absolutely, sure.
I would like to name Ecuador as a country as the spookiest place in the world.
Why is that?
Why? In the coast, we have the face of the devil carved in a huge stone, and we believe the soul of the devil is there.
Now, is that a natural carving, or did somebody do that?
Yeah, we don't know. It just appeared overnight.
And it looks like the devil.
Yes.
Can we see that on the internet somehow? Is there a way to find that?
I don't know. I haven't checked on it.
Okay. We'll Google search face of Ecuador. Sean, maybe you can. If it's worth putting up on the website, you can do that. Okay, that's a creepy place, I would guess. Thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, Wildcard Line, it's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good evening, George.
Good evening to you.
My name is Kurt, and first of all, thank you so much for letting me on here. I cannot even believe I'm on. And it's so weird hearing all these calls leading up to this. Thank you so much. They're all synchronistic, if you can call them that. And also, I'd like to say, may the universe bless everybody who listens to this program. May all your dreams come true, because it's, I'm so thankful that there are people here that can just express their opinion. Thank
well
you
said.
To all of you, and you, George, for the forum.
Well said.
What I wanted to call about was about dreams that I've had. It's only a few, but they've really, I guess, molded the way that I think, and I hope that I can influence more people. And that's that when we wake up in the morning and we walk into reality, we go into our sleep state and we walk into a dream time. I've had dreams that have told me otherwise, that it's the other way around.
Basically, oh, yeah.
We are dreaming when we wake up. And I mean, obviously people know this or people have thought about this, but I'm talking about, like, seriously, you can actually do just as much here as you can there.
That's true. And you know, some people have said that we are living the dream right now, and that the dream state is reality.
That's very true. We, when you look at the existence of a human here, anywhere between 50 and 100 years, even if you give them the benefit of a doubt to 100,
sure.
Still, the eternity of time and space, and it actually doesn't even exist. We're here but a blink of an eye. And that goes the same for our dreams. In the nighttime, what we think sometimes is a full many days in a dream is actually only seconds relative to our time here. This is all to throw us off. And I just hope that people will keep going towards this dreamality, is what I call it, where you kind of see the hologram and you basically make it happen. And that's what I mean by willing it. I mean, you already know this stuff, but I just want to say it again. I'm so thankful to even be on here. I swear I'm in shock, but that's the universe too. And I'm a lucky, lucky soul. So I can understand why I'm here.
You have a great attitude. I bet your friends love to be around you.
Well, I sure hope so. I try to keep it real, but you know, we all blow up, but we have to just remember to stay humble.
You got it. Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thanks. Enlightened person, is he not? West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, this is Jim. I'm calling you from Mojave Valley, Arizona.
Hey, Jim, what's going on? No rain there, huh? Nothing.
Boy, talk about dry.
Really?
Anyway, the reason I called is I heard your discussion with the gentleman about the strange weather phenomenon, and you referred to the pilot who fell through that storm.
Yes.
Okay, the man's name was William Rankin, and he was the son of my grandmother's sister on my father's side.
So you know about this case?
I actually got, when I was a much younger man, I got to sit down and talk with the gentleman about the experience.
What did he say?
If
you remember. Well,
I don't have time to repeat it all on the radio for one
Just time. The highlights, the good part.
Okay, when he bailed out, the jet he was flying at the time flamed out. And I heard the gentleman you were speaking with say that it was somewhere around 20 minutes. The time he was actually suspended in the storm was actually over 30 minutes.
Just floating around in a storm, thinking, I'm never going to land.
He thought he was dead.
Yeah.
More than once. Evidently, from what he told me at the time, I got to sit down and talk with him. He fell, and then he would be, brought back up in the storm, and then he'd fall again, and he'd be brought back up.
Oh, my God. Now, was this, first of all, day or nighttime? Not that it made a big difference, because he couldn't see anything anyway, but...
It was nighttime.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was even worse. As you can imagine, he got pretty beat up there. And he still... And this was, when I got a chance to meet him, it was a number of years after it had happened. And there, he did write a book about that and a number of other of his experiences.
I've got to ask you, do you know, where did he end up landing?
Oh, gosh. I can't remember the exact local area, but I do remember this was generally over the East Coast at the time.
Okay, but he landed on land, right? He didn't go into the ocean or anything like that?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, when he finally came down... because of the updrafts and that in the storm, as you can imagine, he couldn't release his parachute. For one,
oh, it would have been torn. It would have been torn to shreds.
Well, and not only that, who knows what the winds would have done to him had he opened the parachute?
Yeah.
You know. Anyway,
you know what's so strange though is, I mean, just imagine this: you're up there, you know, you can't pull your chute. But it's pitch black. You're in a storm. You don't know if you're going up or down. I mean, there had to have been a point where he said, I could be 10 feet above the ground. I mean, that's kind of scary.
He told me at the time probably the only thing that saved him was the fact he was young, very good health, very strong. And, of course, he almost froze to death during that time. He got beat up really bad. He took, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks in the hospital to recover from the experience when he finally got down.
Somebody was watching him. Did he become spiritual after it was all done?
He was spiritual to begin with.
Maybe that's what helped him.
All the more so afterwards.
Okay, great. Good story.
He even took a number of trips around the country doing survival talks with other pilots because of this experience.
I mean, that is one heck of a story. See, the one thing about Coast to Coast, it is so vast that eventually somebody knows somebody who is connected with the story. I mean, what are the odds of all this happening? Let's go to our Creepy Place hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, where are you calling from, Creepy Place?
Anchorage, Alaska. My name's Debbie.
Debbie, and where was your creepy place?
Well, I'm an artist, and I looked for a studio all over the place. Well, I found one, and it was above a garage. The building had been built during the big pipeline boom back in the early 70s.
Okay.
And it's a garage now, and I could have the whole upstairs. And for an artist, I mean, you know, this is great.
Yeah.
So I hauled in all my equipment and everything, and I'm working, and, you know, months go by, everything's quiet. I am really satisfied with the place. You know, it's quiet. I work at night, you know, which everybody says witching hour and everything else, and artists are a little bit weird. Well, everybody knows I'm weird, so I don't worry about it. And one night I got a little bit tired, and I'm used to taking a nap in my studio. And I'd never taken a nap in that studio, so I shut down the lights. I shut down my air compressor. I shut down other equipment. And I kind of, you know, threw out some of my tarps and stuff and roll up my jacket, put it down for a pillow. And I'm turning out the last light, which I have to go out in the hall.
Mm-hmm.
I go out in the hall. I turn off the light, and it's like, holy cow, what is this? Something's there.
Well, like what?
I don't know, but I quickly turned the light on, and I looked around. I searched all the rooms. Nothing was there. So I go back, and I figure, okay, I'll turn on the other light. It's closer to the room, and I'll come back and turn off the hall light. So I turned on the other light, turned off the hall light. I couldn't make it back to the room. It was like something was there.
Like holding you back?
No, it was like, okay, imagine Freddy Krueger is there.
Freddy Krueger is there. That's all you need. Ugh.